Pati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pri Ancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Evachapotitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Taitanya Purnatananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'll continue speaking on the same verse that Srimad Radhanath Swami was speaking on. Each verse can be spoken on unlimitedly, because Bhagavatam is unlimited. Krishna Tula Bhagavad Bibhu Sabashray Prati Shloke Prati Akare Nana Artha Koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Bhagavatam is the same as Krishna, is all powerful, can give all shelter to others. In every verse, in every akshara, in every syllable, so many meanings are spoken. So we can continue speaking on this. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke 30 days, 2 hours each day, on the first verse of Bhagavata. Changing the mic. Is the duty of the father to instruct the sons for their ultimate benefit. Generally, of course, nowadays the training is different, but generally the sons look up to the father for guidance. The natural tendency is there to take after his example. And what are the values of the father he generally tries to imbibe in the sons? Rishabhdev is an ideal father. He's instructing his sons for their ultimate benefit. Now I'll ask a rhetorical question. It means I'm asking the question, but I know what the answer is. How many of you have been instructed by your fathers like this? None. And that you are getting instructed like this, they won't be very happy about that. They will instruct you just the opposite. My dear sons, do not undergo divine austerities. Live like hogs and pigs. Of course, they won't say it directly. They won't say it directly because they think that we are very sophisticated, we are very advanced, we are far above the level of the jopa patiwale, or what to speak of the hogs. And maybe they're thinking that, yes, you see, people are living like hogs and pigs, like the jopa patiwale. They keep hogs, and so maybe, and then they're living next to the drain, or usually the place with the stool field. That becomes, when there's no more space than the Chopapati is made there. So you may think those people are living like hogs and dogs, but we are very sophisticated. My son, I'm going to send him to study in America. So we are very sophisticated. But Rishabhdev says that if the endeavor for self-realization is not there, then it is a very sophisticated kind of animal life, that's all. If we are simply interested in sense gratification, then we are like hogs and dogs who have no higher purpose in life. If we ask people, what is your purpose of life? To get money. To have... People should respect me. This is considered very important. That people should respect me. People work so hard to get degrees and then get jobs, and so that you can be respected. Just what for? Some mental sense gratification. The ability to show. The running on four wheels. If one who runs on a Mercedes four wheels rather than Maruti four wheels, they think, I am a more sophisticated sense enjoyer than a Maruti sense enjoyer. Of course, Maruti actually means Hanuman, but nowadays they forgot that. Nowadays, Maruti means a tin can car that you drive around. A Mercedes is also a tin can. It's just a more expensive tin can, that's all. If ever there's an accident, you can see. It may look very nice, but it just squashes up like a tin can, and you become a crushed sardine inside. So this Prabhupada was pointing this out. Not Prabhupada means he's an acharya. It's the duty of every acharya to point this out. Srimad Bhagavatam, people generally think Srimad Bhagavatam is some stories about Krishna dancing and stealing butter. That's true. That is the essence of Bhagavatam. But we cannot understand this or appreciate this unless we go through the teachings of Rishabhdev. Unless we go through the teachings of Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami, how does he begin his teachings? He doesn't start off immediately, well, there are a few gopis and then Krishna was dancing with them. He doesn't start off like that. This is Adiras. That is the spiritual, transcendentally pure relationship between Krishna and the gopis. But to appreciate that, first of all, we have to give up our attempts at enjoying vikrita ras, transformed rasa. So Shukadev Goswami, he begins his teachings, nidraya hriyate vaktam virasena vava vayaha divachatheya rajan kutumba bharanenava. He starts off by teaching that, see, all these materialistic people, they're simply engaged in, they spend their nights in sleeping and sex indulgence, and their daytime very busily working to maintain their family members. So Rishabhdev is dilating on this theme, that what is the difference between the average, respectable person and a hog? Well, you can say, well, you know, the hog has four legs and kind of not very good looking and overweight, different diet. So it seems to be different in all kinds of ways, but in consciousness, more or less the same. Because the hog is simply interested in sense gratification, and the human being is simply interested in sense gratification. And the difference, what is the difference? Well, just wait one lifetime around and there won't be any difference, because who is enjoying sense gratification in the human form of life will be in the hog form of life. So it's just a different covering on the body. There are different coverings on the soul. We attain different coverings according to that verse I was forgetting yesterday. Shrotram chakshu spashanam cha rasanam ghranam eva cha adhishtanam manas chayam vishayam upasevate. We are all serving the objects of the senses of the human form of life, which is meant for understanding Krishna. Rishabhdev is giving this realistic instructions to his sons. Sometimes fathers give realistic instructions to their sons that, you know, son, life is really tough. You got to be tough. That's what they call realistic. But that's only one level of realism. They don't know what reality is. Therefore, whatever advice one gives in illusion simply serves to perpetuate that illusion. Rishabdev, he is giving the actual teachings that qualify one to be an actual father. The father is supposed to be the guru. But as Rishabdev says, later on in this section, his teachings to his sons, Guru Nasasyat, Swajano Nasasyat, Pita Nasasyat, Swajana Nasasyat, Daivang Natasyan Napatischa Shasyan, Namochi Adya Samupetu Mrityam. That one is not qualified to be a guru, Janani Nasasyat, or a mother. One is not qualified to be a father or a relative or one who takes respect from others in any way, or a husband, unless one is able to deliver one's dependence from birth and death. When we think, what is the quality to be a father? Well, find a wife. That's the only qualification. Or in the modern, actually not even wife, you see, boyfriend, girlfriend. Find a female vessel, that's all. What is the qualification to be a mother, to have a female body? That's all. That's what they think in the modern age. Therefore, they are cats and dogs. Because the only qualification for a cat or a dog or for a kutti to be a mother is to find a kutta. They don't have to find. The kutta finds them. So there's no real qualification. Just get out on the street and it happens. And after some time, the kutti becomes the proud mother of 5 or 6 little kutte. And life goes on in this way. So they have no higher teachings. What is their qualification? Just to be in that body, that's all. But human life is meant for God realization. Therefore, it's not that simply one has a body and it gets impregnated by another body, and then out of your body come some other bodies. That is animal life. Human life means thoughtfulness. Atato brahma jignasa. The duty of a father is not simply to bring children into this world like in the manner of cats and dogs, but very thoughtful. In human life, one should not give birth to children, as the great philosopher of the modern age, John Lennon, said. Maybe you've heard of John Lennon, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, you didn't lose anything. Anyway, he was considered a great philosopher of the hippie youth, until someone decided to shoot him. And that was the end of his philosophizing. He also met Prabhupada and did some service, so his life wasn't completely useless. But he made the observation that most children nowadays are born over a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night. In other words, someone drinks a bottle of whiskey, and his girlfriend drinks a bottle of whiskey. Or if she's not very willing, he tricks her into drinking a bottle of whiskey. And 9 months later, baby is born. And the world population goes up by one. So in this way, the population is increasing. But in Krishna consciousness, we recommend family planning. That doesn't mean making sure you put on a, what's that called, Nirod? What's it called? Anyway, whatever it's called, I can't remember now. It doesn't mean putting on one of those things before you do it. Or it doesn't mean that the wife has to remember to take her pills. Family planning means how careful one should be in the matter of bringing children to this world. One should bring children into this world for the particular purpose of training them in Krishna consciousness. It's not just a byproduct of one's sense gratification. But rather, the sexual act should not be indulged in primarily for sense gratification, but for planned procreation. That's why this in the modern age they have love marriage, but actually there should be planned marriage, and there are so many factors to be considered, including astrological. That's important. You have to see that whether the boy and girl are suitable for each other, if they're compatible, then they can live together relatively peacefully, relatively happily. And in that compatible situation, they can plan, again according to astrology, when they should unite for the purpose of bringing children into this world. It's a very different proposition to that of a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night. And the result is something very different also. Children born in lust, they become like the people of the modern age. Parents are complaining that, oh, our children, they're just wild, we can't control them. But you can't control your children because you didn't control yourself. How can we expect controlled children if we ourselves are simply self-indulgent, and the children are a result of lust? Children born out of lust are going to be lusty. Children born out of concern for their future progress in spiritual life, they're going to be saintly. Kamana Daivanitrena Jantur Dehopapattaye. Everyone is born according to their karma, under the direction of the demigods. So those who have attained saintly consciousness, they desire to enter the womb of parents, the womb of a mother, of a couple who are of saintly consciousness. But those who are simply lusty, then they get thrown into Mura Janmani Janmani. They get thrown into the wombs of lusty Muras, rascals. Rascals are born from rascals. And saintly persons are born from saintly persons. Generally, there may be some exceptions, but that is the general rule. So Rishabhdev, he united with his wife. Of course, Rishabhdev is the personality of Godhead. But he has come taking the position of an acharya to teach us how to live, first of all, as human beings. We are talking about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very high proposition. Most people in the modern age are not even on the level of human beings. Means that for they have two legs and four wheels, but the consciousness of animals, because they're only interested in sense gratification. So parents are not teaching this. They are propagating a parampara of sense gratification. They are very sad, they very much want that their children will do well. I want my children to succeed. But their concept of success is how to become an animal, sophisticated animal. Practically, the parents who, they put so much effort into making us into animals. They think that they are doing good for us. But because they are apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedhinam. Shukadeva Goswami, again at the beginning of his teachings, said that people, they do not see what is knowledge of the soul, and therefore they are living just like in their family life, just like animals tied to a post. They think that we are very sophisticated, but they are tied by the ropes, maitunagara, the ropes of lusty desire, of sexual attraction. This Rishabdev, it's not that he just said this one verse and that's all. He elaborates on this theme. What is the nature of material existence? Rishabdev also says, Pungsastriya mittani bhavametam tayaraho hridya grantimahuhu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoyam ahammameti. Rishabdev is very frank with his sons, telling them that the basic principle of material existence is attraction between male and female. Again, this is another reason why we can see it's not simply some kind of dogmatism or some kind of fanaticism, but it's scientific. We can scientifically understand. Scientific means that which can be upheld by analysis. So in this sense it's scientific, that yes, people are animals just like hogs and dogs. In this way also their consciousness is the same, because the basic principle of material life is the attraction between male and female. And it's the same in every species of life. Just like we have Miss World Show, Miss Universe, we think if we see a female body that is what we have a concept of a female body that is very beautiful. It should be shaped just like this, and the eyes should be like that, and the eyebrows should be like that, and the lips should be like this, and the ears should be like this, and the hair should be like this. And on the basis of that, people spend so much money going to beauty parlors to change the shape of their eyes, or to put some makeup to make it look shaped differently to what it is, or if it's shaped the way that's considered nice, they want to enhance that. They spend so much money. Nowadays it's a big income, cosmetic dentistry. You'll have your teeth sticking out in five different directions. Get a brace and put them on so that it looks nice. So what is the purpose of all this? So that one will look attractive to the opposite sex. That's all. So just like we are thinking that this young lady is very beautiful and very attractive, and we think that if only I could marry a woman like this, then my life would be perfect. But the hog is thinking the same thing. Not about the woman, but about Mrs. Hog. Not Mrs., they don't get married, but Miss. The world, Miss World of the hogs, should have a very big belly and a big nose and sing sweet poetry. Oh, when the hog hears the sweet poetry of Miss Hog, he faints, he falls in the stool. It's the same thing. It's the same attraction. Therefore, we are living like hogs and dogs. It's the same attraction. The only thing is, in the human form of life, we have to work damn hard to get our buoy or whatever. We have to work. The hog, he has it. Actually, if you consider, the hogs, they're enjoying sense gratification much more than us, because if you want to have a wife, you have to work hard. In Thai, I was living in Thailand. It's spelled T-H-A-I, Thailand. So I was on a plane going from Thailand once, and one British man was making a joke, they should call it Thailand. It's spelled like that. And mostly most of the tourist business there is sex business. People think, well, I had sex at home, but I heard it's pretty good over in Thailand. Let's go and check it out. It's prostitution business. Even we're printing books in the printer we're printing books, they were printing restaurant bills. We saw that they had on the bill, the itemized bill. It said food, drink, room, girl. It's right on the bill. So, I was in Thailand, and in Thailand they have a saying, this Thai wisdom. Mi nun, mi pu ying, which means, if you have money, you have a girl. No money, no girl. If you have money, then you can get a wife. Or you can go to a prostitute, whatever. If you don't have money, they're not interested. Some ways women are more intelligent than men. When they look at a man, they don't just look at his... I don't have anything like that, but you can just imagine. I'm just a scrawny, skinny, no muscles. I'm not going to win the Mr. World contest, am I? Anyway, the women, they look at the big... they're not looking at that. Which part of the body does the woman look at? Is it the face, or the big muscles, or the big chest? They're looking at the chest, at the pocket. How much money is there? That's what they're looking at. They're more intelligent because they know there's going to be children, and then we need money. I have to have silk saris and gold and bangles and all this kind of thing. So, in many ways, the hog is in a better position than we, because he doesn't have to go and work hard to get the money. This Miss Hog is having a party, and he just goes and joins in. That's all. No fees. No money to be earned. Dogs also. But the dogs, they have to fight. That's all. Over one doggy or kutti. But it's the same thing. But human beings, we have to go through so much endeavor. Prabhupada used to quote Marshall's economic theory, that the basis of all economics is family life. Because if there was no sexual attraction, then we wouldn't have to bother about earning, maintaining home, all this kind of thing. We'd just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And why are we not chanting? We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're not being happy sometimes. Devotees come and say, oh, I have this problem, that problem, and this, my mind. And what does it all come down to? Pungsastriya mittuni bhavametam tayaraho hridya grantimahu. All the problems we have. Now we're going to have a seminar. Material problems, spiritual solutions. There are not material problems. There are not material problems. There's only one problem, which takes many forms. And that problem is our forgetfulness of Krishna, which is manifested in this world as attraction to Krishnetara, everything which is conceived of as being separate from Krishna, and particularly the sexual attraction. So that sexual attraction that expands this Marshall's economic theory. He didn't know it, but it's derived from Srimad Bhagavatam. Ato griha kshetra sutate vitaya. When one has a wife, then he has to think of home, ato country or land, then money, children, relatives. That's why woman, one word is stree. Stree comes from the same root as vistar. Everything becomes bigger. That I remember many years ago, I saw one of my friends, devotee. He was brahmachari. He used to travel with just one small bag. And then one day I saw him coming up the stairs with big backpack on his heavy backpack and pulling up two heavy suitcases. I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "It's not just me. It happens to everyone who gets married. That's what happens. Your luggage increases. More possessions. Because we feel secure if we have a home and possessions. People fill up their homes with so many rubbish things, especially in the modern age. You open a cupboard and so many useless broken toys fall out. People, they accumulate so many things. You see the shoe rack and you think there's 50 members of the family when it's only three. Actually four. Hum do, hamare do. But three means husband, wife, child and dog. But the dog doesn't wear shoes. So many pairs of shoes. They have high-heeled shoes and then house slippers and then boots and running shoes and so many different things. Not necessary, but accumulating unnecessary things. Because people, they feel secure that, and they put photos on the wall to show, Hamdo, here is our wedding photo. We surround ourselves by objects. And we make our reality. We consider, this is my reality. We identify ourselves. What is my identity? This is my husband. This is my wife. These are my parents. These are my children. This is my job. I work in such and such a company. We identify ourselves in this way. Instead of identifying ourselves as Krishna Das, we gain our identity, or we gain a sense of identity. Who are we? We don't know. So we identify ourselves as, I work for Wipro, and I live in this building, and this is my wife, and these are my children, and this is my dog, and this is me. But it's no more advanced than animal consciousness. We should understand this. We cannot chant Hare Krishna unless we understand this. We may think again that, well, what's the qualification to chant Hare Krishna? You just need two lips and a tongue. That's all. But we cannot actually chant Hare Krishna unless we understand that I am a servant of Krishna. We can make the sound Hare Krishna. But unless we're actually calling out to Krishna, please engage me in your service, and then that's not actually chanting Hare Krishna. We may be calling out Dhanam Janam Sundarim Kavitam Jagadish Akamaye. Hey Jagadish, I want Dhanjan Sundari and everything else in this world. But that's not chanting Hare Krishna. At least Krishna, he can recognize that we are desiring material objects for our own sense gratification. We cannot actually chant Hare Krishna unless we are convinced that I belong to Krishna. You can wear a t-shirt that says, I belong to Krishna. But that consciousness has to be imbibed. As long as we are thinking that I have anything to enjoy in this material world, as long as we have any prospect that I shall enjoy myself in this material world, then we cannot actually chant Hare Krishna. we can begin. That is called sadhana bhakti. When we begin, we can begin to chant. But actual chanting takes place when we have no other shelter than Krishna. If we don't even have the desire to become purified, if we're thinking that, let me live happily in this world, that means that we haven't understood what Krishna consciousness is. We may think, well, this is very strong preaching, but this is teaching of reality. The reality is that we are chained up in this material world by the ropes of desire for sense gratification. If we have the human form of life, but we simply desire sense gratification, then we lost our opportunity. Utishta, jagrata, prapya varanna bodhata. The Upanishads exhort us. Wake up, get up, wake up. And we say, I'm awake. You're not awake. We're zombies. We're walking. We're walking in illusion. We're not awake to the reality, to our necessity, our real necessity. So here an objection has come. More than 50% of the people in India are under the poverty line. They have to work long hours to maintain themselves. So for that, yes, Prabhupada said, modern leaders will force you to work like hogs and dogs and asses. We say people are working like asses. It's an insult. If we say someone's you're just like an ass, it's an insult to the ass. Because the asses don't work so hard. The asses don't work so hard. 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day. Well, you're not below the poverty line, so you take it seriously. All of you here, you're not below the poverty line. If you are below the poverty line, what is that poverty line? I see all the Chopapati, they have beauty parlors, isn't it? You go in the Chopapati, they all have TVs and there's video shops. They have enough money. They're not living hand to mouth. People are living hand to mouth. There are people like that. That's less fortunate. They can also chant Hare Krishna. But we're talking to you now. You're in a situation whereby you don't have to work like the proverbial hogs and asses. So why don't you take it seriously? Then you can go to those who are below the poverty line and give them prasadam and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. The real problem is not lack of food. There's enough food in the world to feed everyone. The real problem is lack of Krishna consciousness. So this modern life, we have to work so hard. Actually, we don't have to. To maintain the body and soul together, we don't have to work so hard. But we have so many artificial necessities. To become a sophisticated hog, we require a big TV. We require to have a fancy apartment. Modern necessities, they're non-necessities. So in this way, the illusion is increasing that I have to have a mixie, I have to have a car to drive to work. We have so many machines so that we don't have to work hard physically, but then we spend money to go to the gymnasium also, or we buy an exercise machine. Then we have a mixie machine so the women don't have to grind the idli mix. But then they buy an exercise machine. So why don't they just grind the idli and then you don't have to have an idli machine? You don't have to have an exercise machine, but it's below their dignity. How can I grind by hand? How can I wash clothes by hand? I need a washing machine. It's below my dignity to personally wash the cloth. So you have to go out to work hard to buy a machine to do all the work which you could do by staying at home. Nowadays the women have to go to work because it's below their dignity to stay at home, but they have to work to buy the machines to do the work which they would do if they were staying at home. So you could just stay at home and do the work, but it's below their dignity. It's insane. The whole society is insane. But we're thinking it's very sophisticated and very advanced. We should study the teachings of Rishabdev. As long as we're thinking that there's anything for me to enjoy in this world, then we cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness. The desire for material enjoyment is like a witch that sucks our blood. Worse, the witch just sucks the blood and then we die. But those who spoil our spiritual opportunity, they're worse. Just like we say, Hitler was very bad. Stalin was very bad. They killed so many people. But they only killed the bodies. Worse are those who are killing the spiritual lives of others, who are spoiling the opportunity for spiritual progress. They're worse. And we should understand this and take it seriously. We're not taking it seriously. That verse I was going to say, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pisachi Yena Vartate Tavat Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katama Bhyodayo Bhavet. As long as we are thinking, as long as we have the desires to enjoy anything in this material world, or if we're thinking, I will get moksha. So many people, I'm on this questions and answers post, and so many come to me and asking, oh, we're doing bhakti for moksha. No, that's another pishachi. The idea, I will get moksha and not serve Krishna. These desires, as long as we have these desires, then there's what is the possibility of our experiencing the Atma Sukh, the real happiness of the soul? There's no question. We cannot experience Krishna consciousness as long as we are attracted to material enjoyment. So we should hear this regularly. We should regularly hear how material life, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, material life is as attractive as a hole into which people pass stool. Nowadays we have sophisticated holes into which people pass stool. The flushing toilets. But traditionally there was just a pit in, and everyone went and passed stool there. And it stank so bad, so that you don't have to ask anyone where the toilet is. Just follow your nose. If you come within 200 meters of it, you know, I'm getting close to the hole in which people pass stool. And in the rainy season, when there's rain and then it becomes all liquefied, and then when there's a few days of heat, you don't know because you've never been in the villages. You're all sophisticated city folk. But I know about these things. I used to travel in the villages. So then you get the nice liquid stool and then it becomes heated up and fermented and so many flies, and the hogs are standing around looking inside, hoping and wishing. So it's horrible. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared to material life. Our nice apartment with nice furnishing and nice pretty young wife. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared it to a hole into which people pass stool. There's as much happiness there. The happiness we're enjoying is the same as the happiness of the hog. Same happiness. First time, was it? First time or second time? I came to Vrindavan. It's one of those things you don't forget. What was it? Darshan of Madan Mohan? Or was it Darshan of Krishna Balaram? I remember that also, but there's something else I remember very well. On going on parikrama, Vrindavan parikrama, early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, and one young boy came out on the balcony of the first floor of his house and gave me darshan of his backside, and seems he came there every day because there was a hog waiting for his early morning rations, and the hog was, you could see, was very eager. He knew now is the time. Hot, fresh breakfast. And it came down right on his face. And his tail was just in ecstasy, enjoying. That is the same as our enjoyment. Same, no difference. But we don't. Same thing. If we can see that, then we can start to see with the eyes of reality. Tattva-gyan. Tattva-gyan culminates in Krishna's dancing with the gopis, but it begins with understanding that our sense gratification is qualitatively not different from that of the hogs, only quantitatively the hog has more. That's all. Without the hard work, working more than an ass. So we should see this, because Maya is pulling us. Maya is always telling us that, well, it's not so bad. It's quite good, actually. You know, they tell you like that, but you don't want to be too fanatical. You have to be realistic, balanced, you see. Balanced life. So, actual balanced life means 100% Krishna consciousness and 0 sense gratification. That is the correct balance. What is the proper balance between sense gratification and Krishna consciousness? 0 one side and 100% the other. But we're fools. We're attracted to sense gratification. So therefore we say, yes, all right, if you like, you can dovetail your desires and this and that. But we should understand that as much as we have material desires, that much we are simply foolish, that much we are cutting ourselves off from Krishna. The real mistake of material life is not that we suffer repeated death, birth and death, not that we become hogs and dogs and cats. That is not the real problem. That is only the result of the problem. The real problem is that we are cutting ourselves off from Krishna. What is the suffering of material life? We say, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, adhyatmik, adhibhotik, adhidaivik klesh. So these sufferings are only there because we are so foolish. We don't realize that our real suffering is that we have cut ourselves off from Krishna. So Krishna very kindly gives us the suffering of material life. He gives us that just so that we can begin to understand, to wake up, that we are not meant to be in this material world. We are meant to be dancing with Krishna. We are meant to be serving Krishna. But we don't realize that. Therefore, Krishna, out of his kindness, gives us the sufferings of material life. But we should be intelligent enough to hear Rishabhdev, to hear Shukdev Goswami, to hear the acharyas, and realize that when the acharyas tell us that we are living like hogs and dogs, it is not their fanaticism. or it's not just some kind of joke that they say. This is the reality. It's extremely serious. Now there's this tsunami. People are thinking, this is very serious. But everything in material life is a disaster. Every single thing. Oh, my son became number one in the whole of Maharashtra. Disaster. Now he's in a bigger illusion, thinking, I am successful. That means he has become more successful in forgetting Krishna. Bigger disaster. And the parents are proud. So the parents should be, if they're actually fit to be parents, following in the footsteps of Rishabhdev, then they should be very happy that my sons have taken up Krishna consciousness with full seriousness. But instead they're thinking, this is a disaster. He will not be able to enjoy life. They're in such illusion. So we should become free from this illusion by regularly hearing this. What happens is, we think, oh yeah, that's true. I should stop being a pig. Then we go out and immediately, Maya catches us. Immediately. So we should remain always in the association of devotees who are very serious about practicing Krishna consciousness, who are very determined not to become hogs and dogs and cats and chickens and mice, but who are very determined to serve Krishna, who are very determined not to spoil their human life. We have to come together with devotees who are very serious to practice Krishna consciousness. We can help each other. We are weak before Maya, but we can help each other to become strong in Krishna consciousness and discuss these points. We should regularly discuss these points. Prabhupada said the whole world is running on this genital problem. He said it in a more graphic manner. I won't say it here because he said it privately. It's not something to be said publicly. But the whole world is, the whole world, so-called human beings, hogs, dogs, cats, simply interested in the gratification of the senses, especially the genitals. The whole of material existence runs around this. We see, if you go to New York, there are so many big buildings, minus two, but still there are many big buildings. So many big buildings, and above the ground and below the ground there's subway, and on the surface there's traffic jams with big fancy cars. So much sophisticated arrangement. For what? For doing the same thing that the hogs and dogs are doing without any such sophisticated arrangement. The whole world is simply running on for the gratification of the genitals, that's all. All this prestige, we want to get a good degree so people will respect. What is this respect? Just another form of sex desire, that's all. So this Rishabhdev has analyzed. Today we only spoke about 2-3 of the verses that he's spoken. You should read all of this. Read all the Bhagavatam. Don't think that Bhagavad Katha only means Krishna dancing with the gopis. That is the essence. But we can never appreciate Krishna's dancing with the gopis as long as we are thinking, I should also dance with some nice young women for my own sense gratification. We should hear this regularly. Become free of the desire to enjoy anything in this material world and put 100% of our efforts into gratifying Krishna's senses. If we try to gratify our senses, we simply become like hogs and dogs, because the only true enjoyer of the senses is Krishna. Krishna is the only person who does not become degraded by sense gratification. Rather, by serving Krishna's sense gratification, we become purified of the desire to attempt to enjoy our own sense gratification. Krishna is the only enjoyer. Serving Him means to become purified. But we cannot serve Him and serve our own sensual desires. The two endeavors are contradictory to each other. So, to actually serve, to actually become a servant of Krishna, we have to become free from all desires to imitate Krishna by enjoying, attempting to enjoy the senses. Hare Krishna. Time's up. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Lord Yashodhara. Please study this Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, very seriously. Distribute this knowledge to others. Help save others from this pig life, dog life, in the name of modern advancement, by distributing Prabhupada's books and the knowledge therein. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Rishabdev Bhagavan ki jai. Hare Krishna.